Support for KJZZ's Science and Innovation Desk comes in part from Palo Verde Generating Station. Dedicated to producing clean air energy, Palo Verde is also an advocate of STEM education in Arizona.
The number of days with a heat index higher than 100 degrees in Arizona could more than double by the middle of the century. The number of days with a heat index higher than 105 could more than quadruple by mid-century. Those numbers are based on the current rates of emissions and climate change and come from an analysis done by the Union of Concerned Scientists. With me to talk more about what researchers found is Astrid Caldas, a senior climate scientist at the Union of Concerned Scientists and one of the report's co-authors. Astrid, good morning.
Good morning.
This seems pretty stark that if things basically don't change, it's going to get a whole lot hotter, both in the Southwest and more specifically in Arizona.
That's correct. The southern part of the country is going to see a significant increase in those extreme heat days where the heat index is going to top 100, 105, and even be off the charts of the National Weather Service calculation for the heat index.
When you talk about off the charts, I know that was a category in your research. What does that mean, and how could Arizona look in that regard?
The off-the-charts days, we call, are the days where the combination of temperature and humidity, which are the two variables used by the National Weather Service to calculate the heat index, those numbers together are going to produce a level of heat index that is above the current reliable measured heat index level, which is to say the formula used cannot be reliably the formula that the National Weather Service uses cannot be reliably used to calculate the heat index when the temperature is so high and the humidity is so high. That heat index is usually above 127 degrees Fahrenheit, so that's off the charts.
Let me ask you about the two aspects of the heat index, both the heat itself and the humidity. Arizona, of course, is known for having a dry heat, although this time of year that humidity does tend to creep up a bit. When you look at what could happen based on how emissions go down the road, are you looking at an increase in both heat and humidity? Is one expected to go up more than the other?
That is correct. The temperature is expected to increase for sure. The humidity has a lot more local influence, but what we know is that with the warmer air holds more water vapor, so it is likely that the humidity will also increase with higher temperatures.
In your analysis, you looked at basically three scenarios, one where emissions continue sort of as they are, one where everybody basically keeps the Paris Climate Accord, and one that was sort of in the middle. I'm wondering if things, like, is it possible, I guess, that to sort of put the genie back in the bottle in terms of what has happened so far in terms of emissions and climate change?
It is. It is, because what we are feeling right now comes from emissions that have been released in the atmosphere up until now. And if we start reducing the emissions right now until mid-century, the second half of the century can have a much different picture in terms of not only extreme heat, which responds more readily to emissions, but also other climate change impacts. Yes.
All right. Well, that is Astrid Caldas, a senior climate scientist at the Union of Concerned Scientists, one of the report's co-authors, talking about the potential for increased heat and humidity across the country. Astrid, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
There is an excessive heat warning in effect today for the Phoenix area. The National Weather Service says the high could reach 115. We topped out at 114 yesterday. The Maricopa County Public Health Department says there have been three confirmed heat-related deaths so far this year, with 37 more cases under investigation. Both numbers are higher than over the same time last year. With me to talk about the impact this heat can have and is having is Dr. David Brodkin. He's a pediatric hospitalist at Maricopa Medical Center. And Dr. Brodkin, what has the hospital seen so far this summer in terms of people affected by the heat?
Right. Yeah, the summer is definitely the peak time when people or patients are at risk for injury or illness related to the heat, particularly in that July, August, September range where the temperatures are peaking. So we see patients who are suffering from heat exhaustion. And even sometimes in the more severe circumstances, heat stroke, which is the more more significant complications that go beyond heat exhaustion.
One of the things that we keep hearing about summer after summer is that the evening low temperatures are not getting down as far as they used to. How significant is that in terms of folks who are then affected maybe the next day by heat when it hasn't really had a chance to cool down the night before?
For sure. I think that's really just a sign of how extreme the heat gets, in the sense that at nighttime, the lows may even still be in the 90s. So it's really never getting to a cool point. Certainly the peak hours during the day when the sun is up is when patients are really at risk for the most severe circumstances, when the sun starts rising above the horizon and the sun is beating down. You have that on top of the extreme temperatures.
What role does humidity play in all of this? Because, you hear so much, oh, it's a dry heat. If it's 110, maybe you go in the shade and it's a little more bearable. But when the humidity starts creeping up, I mean, I feel less comfortable. I would imagine that that doesn't do much for folks who are really suffering.
For sure. The humidity actually does play a role in our climate in Arizona. I suppose that's the one benefit from the heat perspective, is that it is a dry heat, as they say. But, really what it comes down to is the body has certain mechanisms for controlling the temperature, controlling the body's temperature. And a big one, of course, is the sweating mechanism. And the more significant the humidity, the more that sweating mechanism might be impacted. So a humid environment of equivalent temperature may be more challenging than, say, the same temperature at a drier climate.
One of the things that the Maricopa County Medical Examiner's Office has found, which I think is kind of interesting, is that a lot of folks who actually die from heat-related illnesses are not necessarily new to Arizona, but people who have lived here for a while. Do our bodies ever acclimate to this kind of heat and these kinds of conditions? I mean, is it surprising to you that folks who succumb to the heat are folks who have been here for some amount of time?
I think there is some degree of adaptation that the human body can undergo by living in a hot environment or hot climate for a significant period of time. However, that really does not take away the risk of heat exhaustion and heat stroke that we see during the summer. And really, ultimately, what it comes down to is everyone's at risk when it comes to being in the heat of the day, particularly when the sun is up. And particularly if there's other risk factors that are associated, such as underlying medical conditions, certain medications. And of course, if one is exerting themselves in that kind of heat, then that also will put them at significant risk as well.
For the patients who find their way to your hospital, do you find that many or most of them have some kind of underlying health concern that the heat sort of exacerbates?
I think the biggest thing that we see are those patients who have those social challenges, the homeless, those who don't have air conditioning at home, those who are in that lower socioeconomic status, where they just may be having more difficulty getting to a cool place during the day. And that is probably the biggest thing. But for sure, patients who have underlying medical conditions, that they're also significantly at risk as well. So I would say those two broad categories are the big ones that we really see.
In the category of heat exhaustion, maybe not quite going to the heat stroke level, how easy or difficult is it to treat those patients and sort of get them back on their feet?
If they're not too far down that road, it is something that can be treated fairly quickly, in the sense that treating them supportively with IV fluids is usually the biggest thing, and getting their body temperatures to cool down, and then treating them supportively in whatever manner. In the more severe cases where it starts turning into more of a heat stroke situation, that's where more permanent damage can happen to major organs in the body, like such as the heart or the brain.
In general, do you and your colleagues at the hospital notice maybe a particular high temperature where you really start to see more and more people coming into the hospital, like a sort of a threshold where if it's below this temperature, you might get a few folks, but if it gets above whatever that temperature is, that you really start to see people suffering?
I think there's not one particular number, but I would say the most extreme heat, when you're starting to get above 110, is when you see the peak incidence of patients coming in with heat-related illness.
All right, that's Dr. David Bronkin. He's a pediatric hospitalist at Maricopa Integrated Health Systems in Phoenix. Dr. Bronkin, thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.